Maloney took his forward position, following the tracks. Gideon and Jimbo moved out to flank him. Gideon looked back once. He watched the two troopers leading their limping horses. In the distance, they looked terribly alone. Two tiny figures almost lost in a sun-bright expanse of hill and rock and short grass prairie. Maloney began running into trouble. He would lose the tracks on long stretches of hard and gravelly ground. When he found them again, where they moved off into softer ground that yielded better to the cutting hooves, they would be fewer than before. Ultimately, he came to a point where the main body of horses had disappeared. He found himself following what he was certain was just three horses and riders. Motioning for Hollander to come up, he pointed to the ground.
They split up. Them Indians have fooled us.
Hollander's mouth hardened.
Not us. You. You're the one to whom the army pays an exorbitant fee for tracking service.
Oh, exorbitant hell!
Maloney lost an hour trying to determine where the main bunch of stolen horses had left the hard ground. He finally settled for following the three horses. He nodded to Hollander.
Most times they split up to confuse you, but they get back together farther on.
Before he'd gone far, the track swung west, then suddenly south again. Maloney's eyes were grim as he again signaled for Hollander.
They doubled back.
Hollander did not seem surprised. Nothing the Indians ever did surprised him much.
To what purpose?
Sometimes Indians like to circle around behind folks that's following them, hit them from the rear.
Three Indians wouldn't hit this many soldiers.
They might if we was straggled out. Scalp or two, a horse. They don't ask for much.
A thought chilled Gideon to the bone.
Leatherman and Ripley.
Maloney and Hollander stared at each other. Maloney nodded.
Lord Almighty.
Hollander turned his horse around. He set out in a long trot, not waiting for the other men. Maloney spurred up to take his place in front, though now it was only a matter of form. They would follow their own back trail, not Indians. Glancing back, Gideon saw Maloney lagging. Jimbo kept going.
Hold up, Jimbo. Let's wait for the others.
What for? Ain't no Indians here.
That was by no means Jimbo's first error, but it stood strong odds of being his last. Gideon heard the strike of hooves. From behind a clump of thick green junipers, 70 yards away, three Indians charged on horses streaked with paint. Gideon's heart went wild. He stared in stunned fascination at a spectacle of running horses, of bright colors, of feather-trimmed shields. One Indian began loosing arrows at an amazing speed. The other two carried rifles. Soon they had cleared half the distance. The other two picked it up. Gideon was too startled to find his voice. He tried to tell Jimbo to whip his horse around and run. Before he could get it said, Jimbo was doing just that. Maloney reached the hilltop but sat on the edge, rifle in his hand. It was 40 yards back to him and less distance to the rapidly closing Indians. Gideon jerked Judas around and jabbed spurs into it. This time the horse didn't carry him headlong into the shouting Comanches. One of the warriors fired his rifle. The shot went astray. An arrow buried into the breast of Jimbo's horse. Halfway to the feathers, the animal fell. Carbine in his hand but never fired, Jimbo rolled.
Jimbo!
Gideon's momentum carried him past Jimbo. For a moment, he seemed benumbed, not knowing what to do. With his eye, he measured the distance to the Indians and the impossible distance to Maloney and Hollander just coming up onto the rim. Maloney had begun firing, but he had not moved toward the stranded pair of soldiers. Gideon was not conscious of any thoughts. He spurred back automatically to the downed Jimbo. Jimbo was on one knee, aiming, firing. Gideon kicked his foot out of the stirrup so Jimbo could swing up behind him. He tried to shout, but his throat seemed blocked. Jimbo stayed on one knee, levering a new cartridge into the chamber. Gideon's breath was short, his face hot. They had to make their stand right here. No one was coming to help them. No one could. The first Indian was near enough that Gideon could see his painted face, the leather shield with jagged lightning streak and red animal tracks. Later, when he had time, he would reflect that he had seen a shield like it on the Colorado. His bullet struck something. He saw a puff of dust. An eagle feather floated away, cut to ribbons. The slug had ricocheted from the heavy shield. Even so, the impact made the Indian loose his arrow too soon. His rush carried him past Gideon and Jimbo. The other two were still coming. One jerked as a bullet struck him. Gideon didn't know whose. The warrior dropped his rifle and threw his arms around his horse's neck, trying to hold on. He did not lose his shield. It was looped to his arm. The third rider jerked the trigger as he passed Gideon. Gideon was sure he felt the heat of the blast, though the bullet missed. The Indian thrust the smoking muzzle forward and tried to touch Gideon to count coup. In that also, he was unsuccessful. The wounded Indian rode a little farther, lost his hold, and fell heavily to the ground. He pushed to his knees, badly stunned. To Gideon's amazement, the other two turned back. He thought they were going to charge at him and Jimbo again. Instead, they leaned from their running horses and grabbed up the fallen warrior between them. They were coming straight at Gideon, but he could only stare in wonder at what they had done. They swung around and galloped away, carrying the third man by the arms. Several more soldiers were on the hilltop now, joining Hollander and Maloney in their firing, but they seemed to have no luck at hitting such a rapidly moving target.
Come back, Indians!
Gideon's heart pumped hot and fast. It suddenly occurred to him that his fear had vanished. He felt a wild, almost drunken exhilaration. He was enjoying this moment in a way he had never enjoyed anything before.
Come back!
Instead, they set the third man down, and one caught the runaway horse. When the wounded warrior was back on his mount, the one with the lightning streak shield waved something over his head. By the time the last of the soldiers reached the hilltop, the Indians were gone, descending at another point 300 yards away. Unaccountably, Gideon was laughing. His heart felt swollen and his whole body tingled.
We stood him off, Jimbo. Me and you. We stood him off.
He saw the rifle the wounded Indian had dropped. On impulse, he spurred the brown horse to get there and retrieve the firearm before someone else.
Get! There's liable to be more of them.
There weren't.
Woo-hoo!
Gideon returned with the rifle, his blood still racing. Jimbo stared at him as if convinced he'd gone crazy. Gideon wondered too, for never had he felt a lightheadedness quite like this. Jimbo wasn't laughing. He knelt and ran his hand along the shoulder of his fallen horse, down to where the arrow shaft bobbed in the last gasping breaths of the animal's life.
Careful he don't take a spasm and kick you.
Jimbo's eyes were soft with pity.
He's past kicking. Past anything. He was a pretty good horse.
To Jimbo, they were all good. He had even had kind words for Gideon's Judas. Now that Gideon thought about it, he realized the brown hadn't threatened to run this time. Jimbo laid his hand on the neck of Gideon's brown horse, just forward of the heavily laden McClellan saddle.
If you hadn't come back for me, Gid, they'd have butchered me like a hog.
Gideon said nothing. His action had been instinctive, just as when the York girl's skirt caught a fire. He didn't feel right in taking credit. He had a guilty suspicion that if he had time to consider, he might have kept going.
You come after me that other time.
Jimbo was sobered by the loss of his horse and by what could easily have happened to himself.
Well, I reckon we're both kind of dumb.
He could not control himself. It was a release from tension, and it was infectious. The other soldiers, holding their carbines, had formed a semicircle. They stared in silent suspicion that the pair had lost their minds. Lieutenant Hollander studied them with apprehension, then relief.
Charger, Jimbo, I take it that neither of you suffered a wound.
They never touched us.
Maloney leaned forward in his saddle.
Now don't you boys let it go to your heads. Far as I could see, you didn't touch them either.
Gideon had not given the tracker much thought during those anxious moments. Now it came back to him that Maloney had stayed at the rim of the hill. He cast aside the caution old Colonel had warned him to keep.
You didn't come out and help us none.
Maloney could have taken violent offense.
You boys made one mistake riding out there by yourselves. I'd have made another if I'd gone after you. Anyway, I did more good where I was at. I shot the one that fell off his horse.
Gideon reluctantly decided to give Maloney the benefit of the doubt, and as he thought back, he realized how much room for doubt there truly was. Hollander smiled.
I knew it from the first, Charger. You have it in you to be a first-rate soldier.
Troopers who had been resentful of Gideon before began congratulating him for staying by Jimbo. It was a good feeling while it lasted. But when the congratulations were through, Gideon and Jimbo still had to face Sergeant Nettles. With him, kind words were as rare as July snow.
If you all had had the sense God gave a jackrabbit, you'd have stayed at the edge of the hill till the others got there. Now you've lost a horse. You can't break the other one down by riding him double. You gotta take turns. One riding, and one walking.
After the elation, it was as if nettles had poured cold water on Gideon's bare back. Maloney took a battered, partially smoked cigar he'd been saving from his shirt pocket, then scratched a match on his belt buckle.
Maloney, we best be moving. We still got two men back there somewhere.
Had, Frank. Had.
He jerked his chin at Gideon.
Let's see that rifle you picked up.
Gideon held it out. The lieutenant took it.
Spencer carbine. Army issue.
Maloney nodded grimly.
And still in Army hands up to an hour or so ago, I'd wager. Did you see what that Indian waved at us just before they skinned out?
Hollander's face showed he was beginning to suspect.
At that distance...
Scalps, Frank. Two fresh, woolly scalps.
Gideon's skin prickled and went cold. He saw horror strike Hollander, then turned quickly to anger.
Damn fools! I told them! Sergeant Nettles! A column of twos!
Finding the men was easy. Leatherman and Ripley had gone less than a mile from the edge of the hill. Leatherman seemed to be kneeling, his forehead touching the ground. Ripley lay on his back, his sightless eyes open. He had died staring into the sun. Each man had three arrows driven deeply into his body. The two horses were dead.
When the Indians found the horses lame, they killed them. They made sure the army would never use them again.
Gideon did not want to look, but he couldn't pull his eyes away. His stomach turned over. He feared he might disgrace himself by throwing up. Two other recruits did. Gideon had seen dead people before, but most had died of natural causes. The worst sight he had ever seen was a slave on old Colonel's plantation many years ago who had sought a place to hide while he drank a bottle of bad whiskey. He had made the mistake of getting himself trapped in a high box stall by a mean mule, which had kicked and stomped him into a sodden mass his own mother couldn't have identified. Old Colonel, though he liked a nip himself, forced his slaves to view the remains as an object lesson on the evils of drink. Hollander made similar use of the two hapless soldiers.
Sergeant Nettles, I want all the men to come by in single file. I want every soldier to take a good look. I want all of you to remember what you see here. I want you to know what can happen when you abuse your horses, when you disobey orders, when you go off by yourselves. Out here, every man depends on every other. Any man who gets careless, who shirks his duty, is a danger to everybody around him. So look! God damn it, even if it makes you sick to your stomach. Look and remember.